Welcome to the Apawa Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to find out more about our church, visit us on any Sunday or online at opawa.org.nz.
Good morning once again. Hopefully, in about a week's time, we could be near the end of our level four. What a time we have been having. We've truly had our lives interrupted. For some, it has sent their lives into a bit of a tailspin, throwing plans out the window, anxious for the future, uncertain of what will happen next. However, for others, it's little more than a blip on the radar of life. They just seem to take it on the chin and settle into their bubble and live, or go on living. But whatever our approach is, this has certainly been an interruption. I think the real test is, what do we do with the interruption? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come and meet together as a virtual church this morning. Thank you, Father, that we have been encouraged by music. And we just pray now that as we listen to this message, that you will take these words and use them to dig into our hearts, Lord, that we would draw closer to you and honor you in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to start with two stories. The first story happened on the 15th of March 2019. A young Kiwi guy was driving his van through the streets of Christchurch and happened to go along Dean's Ave. And as he was driving along Dean's Ave, he saw a lot of people seem to be lying on the ground, and he knew something was happening. So he stopped his van, and as he hopped out, he then heard the sound of gunshots. This was an interruption to his day. What should he do? Should he ignore it? Go to safety? Well, he didn't see any option but to hop out of his van and offer help. And as he said later, any fellow human being would have done the same. He walked into the danger zone. He rescued three people wounded by the terrorist outside the Al Noor Mosque. He then took them to the hospital, went back to help some more. Now, one of those men he rescued suffered multiple gunshots to his lower leg. However, almost as if in spite of what the gunman tried to achieve, these two men have now become best of friends. First story. Second story is one that you should know very well. It's from Luke chapter 10. We are reading from verse 25 to 37. And of course, this is the story of the Good Samaritan. But I'm not reading you the whole story. I'm just going to read part of the story to you. Verse 25. But wanting to justify himself, the lawyer asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while travelling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put them on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever you have spent.'" Two stories. The second one, the Good Samaritan, is usually a story we take the message of the fact that we are to love our neighbours, and our neighbours are those that are in need, which is very true. But this morning, I want to take a slightly different interpretation or a different meaning out of this story. I want us to look at the interruptions, because the Samaritan was interrupted in his day. Just like the young man in Dean's Ave, they were both going somewhere, They had something to do, something to achieve. But circumstances interrupted them. And they had choices. What should they do with that interruption? And this is what we're going to look at in a bit of depth this morning. So following on for those two situations, I've got a few other contexts that people have to make choices of what they would do. And they're all about interruptions. So the first scenario is a homeless man wanders into the church's buildings, into the foyer, possibly high on drugs or alcohol. Doesn't look the most kept person, different to most of us in his outlook. And he's just come in for a cup of coffee and a bit of bread. What do we do with him? Is he an interruption? Next scenario, two salespeople that knock on your door at tea time. You know, you're sitting down just about to have your meal, bang, bang on the door, go out. And these guys, they often don't wait for you to say, yes, I want to hear. They just start into their sales pitch. An interruption. What do you do? Third, you go to put your rubbish bins out at the gate, and across the road, your neighbor is doing the same thing. Unbeknown to you, his partner has recently taken her own life. This could be an interruption into your day. What do you do? The fourth scenario, a man in a wheelchair drops his phone in the middle of a busy intersection in the city. He can't pick it up. He can't bend down low enough because he's in his wheelchair. You are in your car at the front with the lights turned green and cars behind you. What do you do with this interruption? The fifth scenario, you sit down with a good book. Ah, the joy of losing yourself in a good novel. Oh no, what was that? The phone's ringing. It's your wife. What would you do? Well, I know in Alan's case what he would do, but what would you do? Or maybe it's your mum. And the last scenario is sitting down for a coffee at a cafe wanting to get some work done. And this actually happened to me while I was preparing this talk. Opposite me sat an Anglican minister. I could tell that by his dog collar. And I realized that I recognized him from somewhere. Wasn't too sure, didn't really click who he was. After a while, he did what I was hoping he wouldn't do. He started up a conversation. And it turned out that he also recognized me. And we worked out where we'd met each other. But it messed up my day, messed up my time. And again, it was an interruption. And I had two choices. What would you do in that situation? So these are all situations where we're faced with being interrupted and we have options. So are you being constantly interrupted? Do you find that annoying? Makes it hard to focus and get the job done? How do you view these inopportune disturbances that create turbulence in your schedule? If you're like me, you can get irritated, exasperated, and frustrated at these deviations in life. If you're an organized person using a things to do today pad, then any interruption will seem like an intrusion, waste of time. Why do we view interruptions in such a negative light? Well, I've got a few ideas of what may motivate us to get annoyed with interruptions. The first one is because we have made plans, we have an agenda. And being Western, we're very goal-orientated. We want to get things done according to our schedule. So that's one reason. Second reason, we're going someplace. We need to get there on time. And again, Western culture is very time-orientated. We have to be there on time. The third one is our time is important. We equate it with money. You know, we talk about wasting our time. We don't want to do that. We also like to be in control of our circumstances. And the last one is what I am doing is more important than the needs of someone else. I think that's important. So many people think that an interruption is something less important that gets in the way of going somewhere or doing something more important. So if I could just read that again. Many people think that an intrusion, an interruption, is something more important that gets in the way of going somewhere or doing something more important. I want you to have a look at this little clip from the movie Paddington, Paddington Bear. Everyone should know him. So this is just a little clip. I want you to see if you can identify with any of the characters in this little clip that you'll see.
London. Here goes. Good morning. Really tipping it down, isn't it? Oh, strange. How do you do? I'm just looking for a home, and I... Oh!
Stranger danger.
What?
Keep your eyes down. There's some sort of bear over there. Probably what? Selling something.
Good evening.
No, thank you.
Hello there.
Mary.
Oh. Hello.
Shouldn't you be at home?
Oh, yes, I should. But I haven't quite worked out how to find one.
Well, where are your parents?
Oh, they died when I was small.
Here we go.
All I have left is my aunt.
And where's she?
Darkest Peru, in the home for retired bears.
Yeah, of course she is.
How did you get here?
I stowed away in a lifeboat.
Cool.
And ate marmalade. Did you know bears like marmalade?
I didn't even know bears could talk.
Oh, well, I'm a very rare bear. There aren't many of us left.
And what are you going to do now?
Well, I thought I would probably just sleep over there in that bin.
That's the spirit. Anyway.
Dad! Why don't we find you some help?
Oh, yes, please. If you're sure it's no trouble.
Of course it isn't. Is it, darling?
Not at all.
A life without interruptions would become too predictable, even downright boring. God could have made it that way, of course. Only people who are dead have no interruptions. What if everything were 100% predictable? Many of us think interruptions get in the way of real life. That's why we don't like them. They remind us we're not in control. C.S. Lewis understood how to view interruptions and how they were part of the real life God has for us. And this is what he had to say. The great thing, if one can, is to stop regarding all the unpleasant things as interruptions of one's own or real life. The truth is, of course, that what one calls the interruptions are precisely one's real life, the life God is sending one day by day. So there's nothing wrong with plans, as long as we build in the margins to be available to God. So go with your plan until God interrupts it. So there's nothing wrong with plans, as long as we build in the margins to be available to God, because he will come along and he will interrupt it. I'd like to share with you a story from an American pastor talking about his own situation. So these are his words. When I was a pastor, I had an experience with a woman once that has forever changed my life. There were two buildings in our church complex. My office was in one, and our weekly pastor's meeting was in the other. One day, I was literally running to a meeting from one building to the other because I was late. On the way, I ran past a woman whose son had been struggling with depression. As I got out the door, I turned around and jogged back to her. "How's your son?" I asked, a little out of breath. We chatted for about 5 minutes, and then I went ahead to my meeting. A week later, I got an email from her. I don't still have it, but I wish I would have kept it because it was a sermon. And to this day, it still preaches to me. I'll summarize. This is what the lady said. "I know you were busy last week, but it meant the world to me that you stopped on your way somewhere else to ask about me. As I thought about it, it occurred to me that most of Jesus's ministry was on the way somewhere else. He was willing to be interrupted, and that's where his interactions happened, in the interruptions. Thanks for being interrupted. Thanks for being like Jesus." And the pastor went on to say, "I don't tell that story to toot my own horn. In fact, I was moved by the email, but realized she caught me on a good day. I'm a very purposeful and efficient person. I hate interruptions." What do you do with interruptions? Well, here's another video clip from a movie called The Phantom Thread. It's a good illustration of how many of us view being interrupted.
No, Alma, what's he doing?
There's tea for you.
Don't put the tray on the table, please. Just take it off. I didn't ask for tea.
No, but...
And take it out, please.
Yes, I can take it out.
It's a bit late now, isn't it?
I'm taking it out.
Yeah, but it's a bit late now, isn't it?
But I'm taking it out.
The tea is going out. The interruption is staying right here with me.
Now I want us to have a look a bit closer at what Jesus does when he has been disrupted. When we read about the life of Jesus, he seems to have a different take on interruptions. In fact, his story seems to be more about interruptions than anything else. Some of the most important moments in Jesus' life are what we would call interruptions. But Jesus seems to invite these interruptions. I think what we call interruptions, because we are obsessed in our culture with accomplishing things, Jesus would consider opportunities. Opportunities for two human beings to have a moment, to connect in a way that date books, deadlines, and overinflated senses of purpose and importance simply will not allow. The story of our culture says that we have too much to do and not enough time to do it in. In this story, people are interruptions. They will make me 3 minutes late to my meeting. They will make me miss the first part of the newest episode of The Chase or Shortland Street. Now, I'd like to read another scripture verse to you that looks again at Jesus' interruption, one of his interruptions. And this is found in Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read two segments of Mark 10. The first one is verse 31 to 34, and then 46 to 52. So, Mark 10, 32. They were on the road, that's Jesus and his disciples, were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise again." And then Mark 10, verse 46, "And they came to Jericho, and as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stood still and said, 'Call him here.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he's calling you.' So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'My teacher, let me see again.' Jesus said to him, 'Go, your faith has made you well.' Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way." The story of the gospel tells us a different story. In this passage, Jesus had an agenda. As we read, he said that he had set his face towards Jerusalem. He was going to Jerusalem, and he knew exactly what that meant for him, his imminent death. But Jesus let a blind man interrupt him. In that story, people are more important than a list of to-dos. Our success is no longer what we accomplish, but whether or not we value people for who they are instead of how they contribute to my accomplishments. The life of Jesus calls us to transform our daily lives in such a way that people are no longer interruptions, but interactions. And there's another passage in the New Testament that I just want to mention upon, but that's Acts chapter 3 and verses 1 to 10. In this story, we have two of the disciples, Peter and John, and they were also going someplace. They were going up to the temple to pray. And on the way, they were interrupted by a blind man wanting money. They stopped and interacted with this man, bringing him new life. And it got me thinking about why Peter and John even gave their attention to the man lying there in the first place. How often do we walk around or step over the guys in the central city asking for money or just sitting there doing nothing? However, later it dawned on me that one of the reasons why Peter and John had given their attention to him had been because they had seen their leader Jesus do the same so many times. When we go through the Gospels, we see that Jesus never disregarded any of the interruptions that came along his way. He always made the best use of those interruptions. In fact, some of the greatest miracles that Jesus had performed were through interruptions he had while doing something else. Now, there are two principles that we need to remember if we're going to change our perspective on interruptions. Number one, there are times when we should not be interrupted. It seems a little bit opposite to what I've been saying, but there are times. Now, one of the most obvious to me that would be an interruption is very important is that when you're sitting on the loo, not a time to be interrupted. Or a surgeon doing surgery is another time where there can't be an interruption. There is nothing more important than surgery, nothing worse than the surgeon being disrupted and popping out to have a chat to someone else. Now, Jesus regarded time with God as seriously as that doctor regards surgery. The Bible tells us that Jesus rose early in the morning and went to a private place, as was his custom, and he prayed. The disciples realized that this was his power source. Prayer was his time early in the morning to get in tune with God. But sometimes we need to engineer our uninterrupted times. Technology has made it almost impossible for us to be unavailable. But what if we turned off our smartphone for 15 minutes and had focused, uninterrupted time to listen to God, the God of the universe? It might change our perspective on interruptions. So that's the first point that we must remember. There are times when we can't be interrupted. The second point is, interruptions are not obstacles to be avoided, but opportunities for interactions that could change lives. Interruptions are not obstacles to be avoided, but opportunities for interaction that could change lives. That is why Jesus was able to allow himself to be interrupted by Bartimaeus, the blind beggar. If you think about it, Jesus was being constantly interrupted by Zacchaeus, who was up the tree, by the woman at the well, by children who wanted to see him, by sick people who wanted to touch the hem of his garment. Jesus was attentive to the people around him and allowed himself to be interrupted. What if we opened our eyes to the possibilities for service inherent in an interruption? Maybe that interruption is really an opportunity for service. And from that, I want to tell you another story. A Scottish farmer named Fleming viewed his interruptions as opportunities for service. Fleming was a poor Scottish farmer who was working the land when he heard cries for help from a nearby bog. Running to the bog, he found a boy sinking down into the muck with no possible way to get out. Mr. Fleming threw the boy a rope and saved his life as he was drowning. Farmer Fleming gave the boy a new set of clothing and sent him on his way without getting his name. A few days later, a fancy carriage pulled up to Fleming's farm. A nobleman got out and thanked Fleming for saving his son's life in the bog. The nobleman wanted to pay Fleming for his gesture of kindness, but the farmer would not take any money. Fleming's son came to the door as his father was talking to the nobleman. "Is this your son?" asked the nobleman. Fleming replied, "Yes." The nobleman said, "Why don't you let me take your son and educate him? I have a feeling this boy could turn out to be something great if he's anything like his father." Fleming entrusted his son to the care of the nobleman. And some years later, his son, Alexandra Fleming, graduated from St. Mary's Hospital Medical School in London, England. Alexandra Fleming discovered penicillin. But the story doesn't end there. The nobleman's son got pneumonia and became quite ill. Dr. Fleming's penicillin saved the nobleman's son's life. By the way, the name of the nobleman was Lord Randolph Churchill, and his son was Sir Winston Churchill. Wouldn't it have been a loss for the world if Farmer Fleming had not responded to that interruption? The world might not have had penicillin or Winston Churchill. Remember, an interruption is an opportunity for service. Now let's bring this closer to home. A bit of nostalgia here. Remember the days when we used to sit in the auditorium every Sunday, and sometimes our attention wandered from the melodic voice of Chris or Rod, and we found ourselves looking out the windows. What did you see? Did you see the world outside as an interruption from your time with God? Now, the windows can be a metaphor for how we view the world or our priorities as a church. Is our posture towards the unsaved world, or have we turned our chairs inwards towards each other? Do we look out the windows and view the people walking by as an interruption or of no consequence to us? Look at this picture. Do you recognize this lady? Many of you won't. Well, do you know if she walks past the windows of our auditorium most Sunday mornings? We don't know who she is, and why should we? She's just an interruption to our worship. We are comfortable in our seats worshiping our God. Don't you know that God is in here, not out there? She needs to come in here to meet our God. Do we know her name, her needs, her story? I know I'm stretching things a little bit, but she represents my interruption, that I shouldn't get so comfortable in here that I ignore what she represents. The world out there that our Saviour Jesus Messiah came to love, accept, and redeem. Let each one of us begin by turning our interruptions into opportunities for interaction and so follow the lifestyle of Jesus. Listen to a part of a well-known song. There won't be an image, so just listen, but deliberately gaze out the windows while you listen and think of moments that would normally be an interruption but could be a small interaction. Yes, it's a long way to go. Busy making other plans. Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. This song was written by John Lennon about his and Yoko Ono's young son, Sean, in the 1980s. The song came out with this wonderful quote, "Life is what happens to you while you are busy making other plans." It means you can make all the plans you want for yourself, but God probably has a completely different set of plans. Now, why does this matter? Apart from following the example of Jesus, it could turn out to be the primary means we as Christians will have to be able to enter the lives of those without Jesus. Those small sound bites of interruption may be all the time an opportunity we have to connect. People today do not respond in the same ways to the methods we used to use in presenting the gospel. Let's not be so busy doing church and trying to control those interruptions, but use interruptions to connect with our front line. Remember, our front line are those places that allow our faith to intersect with our real world, which for most of us is about 80% non-Christian. You know that as we seek to connect with you, our non-Christian frontline, interruptions may be the only opportunities for meaningful interactions that we are given. Interruptions are God's invitation. God is inviting us to see him all around us, in the lives of others, in our conversations, in our serving those in need. Interruption is not simply a matter of our heart developing patience. It's about experiencing true life. It is one of God's ways of waking us up to what's around us, to see there's more to be done than our self-appointed tasks for the day, as important as they may seem. Once again, I want you to ask the question, are these interruptions or interactions that you'll see on the screen? And I want you to take these situations away with you and ponder them and ponder some of the interruptions that you experience in your day. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of interruptions and that you invite us to enter into those interruptions and have interaction and opportunities to serve others around us, Lord. A world that is desperately in need of you. And Lord, what better time than the major interruption we've had in our lives at the moment? An opportunity to connect with people, even if it's 2 meters away or over the fence or across the road. But people are open to talk and to share. Father, I pray that you would continue to open our eyes and our hearts. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.